Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
About Willis.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What is going on?
Just enjoying some sunshine.
I don't know. Have a nice day. I do know. I know what's going on.
Yes, you do.
I have some really smoking hot... off the presses, personal news to share with you.
Really?
That is good for the show.
Okay.
So
well, now I'm like on the edge of my seat again. What's happening?
This is exciting.
Is it up with Beefsteak Mike? What's happening? Or is this involving you? What's going down?
What do you mean, Beefsteak Mike? What does that mean?
I don't know. I thought maybe you had big news about Mike Lynch.
I feel like after yesterday's conversation, Beefsteak Mike feels like a bad nickname.
Whatever, Beefsteak Mike.
What did we talk about yesterday?
The whole being called big something or based on your size.
How many?
Although Beefsteak Mike is relevant because I ate like 80 something beefsteaks at a baseball dinner when I was a senior in high school.
We should clarify. That's why he's called Beefsteak Mike.
I don't want to clarify.
Not because I'm a beefsteak, although I am a little bit.
I don't want to clarify anything.
I think you mean beefcake. That's two different things.
I'm saying Beefsteak Mike, and who's ever out there,
you're
you can
true.
Interpret that any way you want. It's like a great artist in their song. They don't tell you what it's about. That's up for you to figure out. Just know that he's Beefsteak Mike.
I interpreted that Mike has a hog.
See? Open for interpretation.
Right off the top, getting radios to turn off.
How about that?
Or turn on.
That's right.
All of a sudden, the ladies.
Okay,
or guys, it's 2020. That's okay. I'm not here to judge anybody.
No, I wanted to tell you guys, I have a new neighbor.
Okay.
And I'm not going to name this person.
Because you've moved into the renovated palace.
Yes.
You're out of the moat house.
Yeah.
You've rented.
Sold.
Yeah.
Alligators.
With the gators.
You rented the penthouse.
Yeah. And now we're into the renovated, downsized palace. Yeah.
Our first house that we bought was a piece of crap.
Yeah.
It's got old school castle turrets on it now. Yeah. And
we never sold it.
They called that old world charm.
Mm-hmm.
And now we fixed it up and we live there.
How many fireplaces? Seven?
It looks terrible from the outside. Well, it's painted, but the yard is just, I mean, it's like embarrassingly
and the
bad.
Guard dogs, you know, that's hard.
It's because you haven't hired any of the people to work on it yet.
Yeah, don't worry.
Right.
It's a work in progress.
It's coming.
You just moved in.
Right across the street from a weed shop.
All right.
But I'm really
excited.
You're
looking more and
property
more.
Property value up.
Yeah, you are looking more and more like a weed bro.
I know, because of my hair.
Well, you've got like a professor sort of look, but like a radical left professor.
Yeah, the backwards hat and the glasses. It's all coming together.
Smokes a ton of weed.
I'm Antifa.
Yeah.
So wait.
You're a terrorist?
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, they're horrible. Yeah, right. Don't strike that from the record. I can't stand them. They're criminals. Okay. Focus. Mike said property value up.
Yeah.
Didn't we do the story on the show, or maybe it was just that I read it, but in Colorado, they did a study of houses that were within like a half mile of a
weed shop.
Property values higher.
Yes.
Higher.
Aha.
Not lower.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that
this
helps.
I'm not surprised by that because people want weed.
Right. It's just convenient.
Yeah.
So anyway.
The stickiest of the icky.
Here's the thing.
And to be honest with you, most of the weed shops that well, I mean, I guess I don't live in a crappy neighborhood. I live in an old folks neighborhood. There is a weed shop like half a mile from me.
Wait, does it have to be crappy to have a weed shop?
No, this is kind of my point. I was saying most of the weed shops that I pass actually look...
They're nice, yes.
They're nice.
They do a good job of them.
But I was going to say, it's not like I...
Very clean.
Yeah, I'm not
frequenting... Well, wait 10 years.
Yeah, I'm not frequenting a bunch of shady out-of-the-way spots. So I had that thought of, no, weed shops are nice. Probably not all of them, but the ones that are around me are pretty nice. But I can't make that generalization because someone else could be like, oh, no, man, come over by where I live. The place is sketchy as hell.
So my new neighbor did some recon because I haven't bothered to go over there and talk to them yet.
No.
Because they're not open. It's like they're doing construction and there's people in and out. And it's like...
The weed shop or the people?
The weed shop.
Okay.
And so he went over there and was like, hey, the hell is going on over here?
Yeah.
And the guy told him that... It's not going to be a retail shop. It's not going to be one where people pull in, get their little gummies and move along. It's like a spot for deliveries or something. Like they come load up the car with their weed deliveries
it's like the Costco of weed.
Yeah, but it's not retail. It's wholesale.
Okay.
So I don't know. It looks shady as hell and I'm not happy about it because a buddy of mine was going to try to move, add a second wine shop to his portfolio, and he was looking at that space, yeah. And oh my God, would that have been great.
By the way, can we talk about Rop's white privilege, not only from the moat now to the palatial estate with the guard dogs, but Rop wants a wine shop across the street from himself.
Hell yeah, and it almost happened. Instead, I have weed. I'm just not a weed guy, so I don't really care about the weed thing.
Well,
have
you thought can of, become
yeah,
weed
yeah,
guy.
I know, I might. About becoming weed guy.
I might.
Yeah.
I might.
Well, you know, my dream is to
take a dabble.
Yeah, you never know. Now, my goal is to not be weed guy, but I want a cool neighborhood bar across the street for me. That's my goal, is to have that. The only one I have is the world's worst bar, which is like down the road from me, but you can't go in there because it's horrific.
See, I think you want that down the road a ways.
Well, that's what kind of what my point is.
You have to
is.
Be able to walk.
Yes.
But you don't want it right across the street.
Yeah, across the street is a bit much, but you know of what I speak.
Two blocks away.
Yes, there's a Fulton's Pub right up the road that I love.
Two and a quarter.
Down two, up one.
One of my favorite places, and when they open back up, you should go there. It's wonderful.
Okay.
I want that.
What's it called?
Fulton's Pub.
Oh, right,
Fulton's
Pub.
Right, yeah, it's over kind of by you.
That's
a
McMenamin's.
Yeah, it's a McMenamin's. But I like that place. It's got a...
You like the small vibe, a lot of locals.
Yes. It's just a good neighborhood bar.
Not really food, just kind of beer and drinks. And
they have tots.
All I need is some spicy
McMenamin's, of course they do.
And some hummus, and then you give me a couple beers.
Let me ask
you
a question. Copper bar.
Yes.
Before I reveal my big, hot personal news and who my new neighbor is.
Yeah, because that's over
But I'm not
going
to name them, but I want to tell you something.
It's Terry Stotts, isn't it?
Do you think when somebody says it's at McMenamin's, does that help or hurt it for you?
I think for most people, it probably hurts it.
I think so too.
Yeah, I
think that is viewed now as a negative connotation.
Yeah.
Because there's so many of them.
Yes.
They're not bad.
Well, they've been labeled as a TGI McScratchy sort of thing. And like Breakside and some of these other, they're blowing them out of the water with what they're doing with the different beers and everything. And like, they're way better food, but for me, I like simple neighborhood bars. And not all McMenamin's are like this. There's one over again kind of by my house that's just whatever. But I love that feel. Fulton's Pub's been there since like 1908. It's been there forever. I just like cool neighborhood bars that aren't crappy. My neighborhood bar, the one that's within walking distance from me, is such an S-hole. And not like in a fun neighborhood S-hole kind of way. You know, it's just... trash. It's just trashy.
Yeah. And I had that at my old house.
I don't want trashy. I just want quaint, good neighborhood. Yeah. A Cheers.
Well, you should have thought about that
before you bought the house. Cheers.
Well, you know what I mean.
So I think a lot of people,
and then
after
you sit
watching
at the end of the
Cheers,
bar and tell the same stories over and over, and they're like, oh my God.
I think a lot of people, after watching that show, wanted their own version of Cheers when they grow older.
I do love that Fulton's is not a sports bar. They have one TV, and it's just a little small TV up in the corner. When you go there, you're never going to get involved in a sports conversation with anyone, right? You can sit at the end of the bar, have some spicy tots.
Sports.
And it's just, it's a great little vibe.
Mike's right about the Cheers thing, but if you've never really been a bar regular, because I was a bartender for years.
Yeah.
So I've been inside and frequented many, many bars over and over and over, right? Like, so you just work in there, you see the clientele, you see the patterns. That Cheers is very accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
Like they, you have a norm, you have a cliff, you have the, and they sit down there and they're in there every other day or every day sometimes. And it's cool.
Now I have not. I mean,
it's got its bad, you know, it's got its downside.
Sure.
As you can imagine what that is. But generally speaking, it's a good place for community, your own little third place. We talk about work being your home, or work being one place, your home being your second place. Everybody needs a third place. For a lot of people, it's a bar, and that is downright delightful. And once the drinking escalates, you never know what that night leads to.
No, that's called the raw opportunity.
It's fun.
Now, I will tell you that at Fulton's here, I am not on, they've never asked my name, right? But when I walk in and I sit at the end of the bar, because that's where I always sit, it makes me happy that I get, because there's really only three bartenders, right, that ever work there. It's a small place. That I get one of two things. When I sit down, they either come over and say Ruby or White Russian.
You guys shut up.
And that makes me feel good. That you're in there enough and they know what you're drinking. And then the tots are almost a given, right? They're like, yeah, and you want tots with that? Yes, I do. And then I sit down and they're like, I don't even have to order. That makes my heart, it makes my heart swell. I'm happy that I've achieved that status there.
I had that as a kid.
But I don't get the, you know, I don't get a souk or whatever, anything. They don't know who the hell I am, but they know of me.
There's a diner in the town that I grew up in. It was called,
they do know who you are.
No, maybe.
I think they do.
It was called Louie's, and I would always get the same thing every single time. I would get a tuna melt on English muffin. That was my go-to as a kid. And we would walk in, and our waiter's name was Mike, and he'd be like, all right, know what you're getting? And we didn't even have to order. We just sat down, and our food showed up. It
Doesn't
was fantastic.
It feel, I just, I
you
love
just
that.
Announced where people can find you, too. You just pulled a, who is the celebrity
don't, yeah,
that
don't
you?
Don't do that.
Sylvester Stallone. You pulled a Sylvester Stallone.
I did Stallone it.
And you're probably going to put, like, a velvet rope around you now?
That seat's going to be taken next time you go, and it's going to be a listener.
Like, I'm sorry. If you'd like to shake my hand, you'll need to wait in line.
Well, in all honesty.
How did you know I was here? Oh, did I announce it on the radio again?
You get this, right? If you go to a sports bar doing what we do. I was talking to Jason Quick about this the other day, right? The Quickster. If you go to a sports bar and you sit down, and I totally get it, but you will get roped into a sports conversation, correct? Someone inevitably will be like, hey, Rob, hey, Litz, Sook, Quick. And you know, hey, what is your take on the Blazers or whatever? And happy to do it. Glad people listen. But it's nice to go and have a beer where no one gives a you know what about sports. And that bar is that. No one in that bar gives two S's about sports. That is as far from that as you can get.
You know what's
cool? And I appreciate that.
This is like a long way of postponing my big hot news.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you before we break. And it's hot. You guys are going to love it. But so now that we're back in the original home.
Yeah.
The first home that's now nice because it's fixed up. The Builder Bros fixed it all up for us. We get to go back and be regulars at the old bar we were regulars at in the early 2000s.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's still there. Hmm. And so we haven't been in yet because, of course, COVID. But now that we've moved back in, I can't wait to go. As a matter of fact, one of the regulars just drove by the other day and said, hey, Rob, welcome back to the neighborhood. We'll see you up at the bar. I'm like, you're damn right you will. And I can't wait to go back up there and see how many of those old schmucks are still in there.
It's a great feeling.
Drinking and smoking and talking cool things. It's great. It's great.
Yes. Neighborhood.
Such fond memories.
Neighborhood bars are fantastic.
I used to spend so much time in there. Okay, here it is. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
My new neighbor, and I will not name who it is because I don't know if they want to be named.
Well, let's go ahead and name them anyways.
Is a television meteorologist.
What?
Yes. Yes. All of the weather talk that we have on this show,
yeah.
We now have an expert. By the way, I've already exchanged numbers. Super cool.
So you live next to Matt Safino?
No, maybe.
You realize that once we bring said meteorologist on to talk the weather, it'll let the cat out of the bag.
Well, they may not want to come on. This is sensitive information.
Look, they're going to want to come on.
I don't know about that. But look, I could not be any happier.
If they exchange numbers with you, they love the show already.
Well, no, he doesn't even know. I had to tell him what I do. He's like, what?
He has no idea who you are.
No, he didn't know. And I didn't know who he was.
Okay.
But this
that narrows
is a,
things down a little bit.
This is a budding relationship. Well, he's fairly new.
How is Bruce Sessman?
It's not Bruce. No, it's not a name. I don't think it's one of the, like, he's a younger guy. Younger than me, anyway. And I'm really excited about this new relationship. And by the way, I now have super, super hot meteorological ends.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
You don't seem excited. I'm really excited about this.
Well, believe me, I'm excited. You know what I'm doing right now.
So it's Brian McMillan.
I'm just scrolling through all the young Portland weathermen that this could be.
Brian McMillan's a fan of our show.
Really?
Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, he and I have DM'd before.
Interesting.
He listens. He's on Fox 12, I think.
Yeah. Can you just tell us who it is?
No, because I don't want...
We're not
some people
stop.
don't want to be mentioned.
What? Mention that you live next door to him?
Yeah.
What does that have to do with anything?
Shut up.
Like, we're not going to stop.
Throughout he and his wife just bought the house behind me.
Married?
Though. I'm very excited. Oh, actually, I don't know that they are married.
Throughout the course of this entire program now, you realize that I'm just going to keep throwing
That's
out
fine.
Meteorologists, and you'll have a tell.
I will not.
You'll give it away.
I will not give it away one way or the other until he gives me the go-ahead. Or she.
How's Joe doing?
Joe who?
What are we looking at here? Rainery? Is that who this is?
Never heard of him.
He's on KGW. I'm looking at all the young weather bros now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna sniff this out.
You might be able to figure it out, but I couldn't be happier that I live next to a meteorologist. As a matter of fact, it's Media Corner down there in Southwest Portland.
If Kyle Oboshi moves in on the other side,
hell yeah.
Then I'm just
it's over.
Find me some property down there. I'm moving in.
Damn right.
Wow.
And we got our weed shop right here.
This is exciting right here.
It is.
I'm excited for you.
I couldn't be happier.
Wow.
When he told me that over the fence, I was like Wilson, like my head just over the fence.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking for the first time. When he told me that, I just...
You know what this means?
You're going to be
outside, you're going to have a glass of scotch, maybe getting into a gar, and then next thing you know, hot weather talk over the fence.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, hey, Rob, you might want to go inside in the next 10 minutes.
God, if he could just text me personal weather updates.
Yes.
Hey, man, I'm golfing in the morning. What do you think?
Hey, like, this is the behind the scenes stuff that no one knows about.
I'm sure he'll love that.
Watch this.
All right, let's go. There's your hot first segment. I liked it.
I liked it. I am so fired up right now.
I liked it.
I wonder if Mike Benner wants to move in next to me.
Benner?
Mike, come on over.
Isn't it Brenner?
No,
or
it's Benner.
Is it Benner?
Yeah, there's no R in there. Benner. Well, he's there,
a KGW.
There's an R at the end. Yeah, he's the bald guy.
The reporter.
That when they need to send someone out to get the scoop on the story and by get the stoop or scoop, stand in front of whatever it is that's happening, Mike's your man. He gets out there.
I love this. All right.
He's got a Scott Van Pelt look about him.
We've got the fan personality series poll questions continuing, and then the NBA's figured some stuff out and Major League Baseball hasn't. That's what's coming up on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. It's COVID cast number 60. 60 of these we've done. Well, 59 and some change. We have a new text line number, 503-250-1080, to reach us via text, 503-250-1080. Our AAA heating and cooling poll question, it is fan personality series poll question number 10. We are going to do more of these because they are so well received. So we don't have just one left.
No. We've got many. You know who's happy about that? Joseph Dames, your new neighbor.
Yeah, I looked him up. That is not my new neighbor. Although I have seen him on TV. And that's a good guess because he's a young, up-and-coming meteorologist.
Don't worry, we'll sniff it out.
So, number nine. Yesterday, which fan personality is most likely to be completely uninsured?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who won that?
I don't. That was one is hard for me
it's
to
a
pinpoint.
Tough one.
Yeah, that's I don't really have a leader in the clubhouse there.
The listeners went with Dirt.
Dirt. I can see that.
31%.
Well, his nickname is Dirt.
Right.
But, you know, he's kind of had that free-swinging bachelor thing going, like the frat boy. But he's matured. He's getting married. I think his wedding got postponed, though.
Luke was number two at 25%.
Luke's got twins.
I'm not sure why Luke, but interesting. Today's question, 1080thefan.com. As always, AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 50 years, AAAIAQ.com. The question is, which fan personality would you feel most comfortable loaning a large sum of money to? Mm. And that came as a suggestion from our listeners yesterday. So we put that one up there today, 1080thefan.com, and vote.
I think it'd be you. If I had to loan a large sum, I would go with you.
Really?
You are it'd be you or Cam. You're a man of in some ways, no soul or heart, but you're a man of principle.
Thank you.
And you're good with money. You're smart with money. You're not an idiot. And you're not a bet welcher in any way. It really matters to you that if you lose a bet that you pay up,
yes,
and you pay up promptly.
100% of the time.
And so I feel like if I gave you a chunk of change, a serious hunk of money, you would do everything in your power to pay me back and pay me back on time.
All right.
And that's all you can hope for when loaning money, right? Because, I mean,
true,
you may not if you loan someone money, be prepared that you may never get it back because, well, fall on hard times or whatever is a reason why they need money. But no, that to me would be you.
All right. Have you tried, it's not LendingTree. There's a website, one of my buddies told me about it once, where it's just like basically a private-to-private lending service.
Yeah.
Where you just log on there, and if you want to be a lender or if you need to borrow money, it hooks you up with different people, private people.
Oh, private? Like,
yeah.
I think LendingTree does that, but with like banks.
Yeah, I think LendingTree is a little different. I forget the name of this.
So basically, you're just, it's like a loan shark R's Us sort of thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kick ass.
And I don't think Oregon... I looked into it because he was like, dude, you can make some good money because so what you have is you have tiered people who like are higher risk or lower risk or, you know, based on their, you know, their financials and stuff.
Yeah.
And how much money they need. And then you make more depending, like if you're willing to risk to a really high loan to a really high risk guy or gal, then you can make a ton of money.
This seems like a terrible idea, ripe for all kinds of bad things.
It's a good idea. It would have to be executed well.
It's called a loan shark. You're taking loans from Mr. Gazzo, and you better pay him back or he breaks your thumbs.
Well, see, that's the problem is, you see those stupid cash places? They'll rip you off.
Well, it's predatory because the people that need to do that.
This is different.
Tend to be lower
income
folks.
Ever,
and
if you're a texter out there in text land, 503-250-1080, I forget the name of the website. Has anybody ever done that whole deal on either side, borrowed or loaned on there? Mm. Because it's a thing and a lot of people are on it. It's just a matter of if your state makes it legal. And I think the last I checked, Oregon, it wasn't legal here.
It just seems awful sketchy. And like, I see those commercials for like the cash checking places and those things are so predatory and should be shut down.
That's what I mean. So where do you go to get money if a bank, like if you, look, maybe you have some issues in your personal life or on your credit or whatever. Yeah. Where do you go if a bank turns you down?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how all that.
In this instance, you go to my buddy Mark in Kansas City, who is happy to loan you money at a most unfair rate.
Some of those check cashing places literally charge
you. Horrible.
Yeah, 25, 30%.
But people have no other choice.
Yeah.
And they'll give you payday like advances or whatever.
But I love those commercials where it's like, do you need cash quick? Like, I went on my vacation and only 30%. I mean, jeez. Yeah.
Anyway, vote 1080thefan.com. Which fan personality would you feel most comfortable loaning a large sum of money to? That is today's fan personality series poll question number 10. Okay, let's do sport.
Well, sport or sports?
Sport.
So just one individual. I think I know what sport you want to talk about.
NBA, dude.
Well, we've already planning the parade route. I mean, don't you know that?
For who?
Well, I think we know. I mean,
for the Blazers?
The Blazers.
The Zers?
It's all set up for them, baby.
Is it?
This is prime.
Blazers.
Okay.
Yeah, bring on the Lakers.
They might get the Lakers.
It's possible. Hey, all you got to do is get within, what, four games of the eighth
spot? It's quite confusing.
I know. It's,
let's run through it.
It's a bit odd.
We'll do it next. How the Blazers will make the playoffs and win it all. Here's Mike.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, a lot of people texting in about these alternative loan programs and websites and apps. The one that my buddy told me about years ago is now available in Oregon. It wasn't at the time, but it is now. And it's called Lending Club. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
I have not. I've never looked for alternative lending.
Well, yeah, but you could either borrow or you can invest in the note,
okay,
right? So you can be either side of it, at least in Oregon. There are some states where you can't. You can only trade them. And then there's one state where they won't allow it. But, it's interesting. I don't know if it's worth doing. Unless you had to, but, or maybe a way to like kind of I don't know, diversify. You want to throw a little money at something different.
Well, and maybe for some people, again, that can't get money the traditional way. Like you said, if you run into a situation where, you know, you have to have it,
These are good people that will pay you back. They just can't get money through the bank, and you can pay them, and you get 10%.
I just know that so many times the check cashing places and the payday advances, they really are predatory. They prey upon people that don't have a good understanding and a grasp. And
well,
it's
these
not,
are
and
not.
It's not for emergency money. No, it doesn't sound
these
like
are
that.
All regulated, and I guess it's backed by a bank, but you basically invest in the notes. It's interesting. Anyway, there are several people who have texted in and said, like, for example, one says, my in-laws do private mortgages and they make bank. The trick is to get around 20% down. If they default, they usually do it in the first 2 to 3 years. Another one says, my friend's uncle loans money for property. If you default, you lose the property. Very profitable business.
You got to have some cash, though. You have to be flush with cash in order to start that. I don't think you and I can go out there right now and start floating mortgages. I don't have that kind of, I don't have that kind of role
in something like this. You don't have to, it's like somebody could be asking for $700 and you could make 10%. You know what I mean?
But
in those businesses.
Yes,
yeah.
In those businesses.
Well, there are varying degrees of them. Here's one that says I've used it. Their bank is a bank that is behind like Prosper and they decide if you get the loan and the percentages, but the businesses and the people are the ones funding it.
Oh, okay.
So
kind of
interesting.
I don't know how you would describe that, but yeah, I guess kind of a Wizard of Oz sort of thing. You got a guy behind the scenes pulling the strings, but you're the one.
Another one says usacash.net. Okay, so in the NBA.
It's back, kind of.
It's back. July 31, they'll start, and they will finish October 12th if there is a Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
The vote has to go down tomorrow, but it's
well, it's already out there.
It's already going to happen.
They're going to pass it.
Yeah.
So teams will start preparing at the beginning of July in their own cities, at their own facilities, and then they will be summoned to Orlando, Disney or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they'll play there.
So guys right now, I got to get off the couch. But you got, 7, 8 weeks?
They got time now.
You got time now. You got a couple months to kind of get this up and going and so there really is no excuse for guys being out of shape, right? I mean, you're getting ample time to work back into it, and it'll be a little ragtag at the beginning. There's the difference between getting in shape and game shape, but you know, anyone on the Sean Kemp Raymond Felton plan, that just means that you just don't care. I mean, you have plenty of time, which is why I think some people were saying, well, why isn't this starting up sooner? One, all the logistics and getting this thing worked out and getting guys time to get in shape and so that no one's blowing out hammies. There's a lot that goes into this. I'm amazed at how many people think that you can just sprinkle some fairy dust on something and then 2 weeks from now you're playing NBA games. It doesn't work that way. You got to give time, you know, figure out again, you know, family members and, you know, what's all that and, you know, who's going to be allowed in the bubble and how many times you're going to be allowed out of the bubble and,
I love that we already call it a bubble.
Yeah, it's not really a bubble, but let's, you know.
That's what they're calling it,
think
though.
Think about like an electronic fence. Yeah, you're going to be quarantined. You know, there's just no other way around it. It's not just the hotel and back. There's going to be some amenities around there. But yeah, I mean, essentially, you are going to be in one place until the season's over.
What happens miraculously if by September everything changes and like this is not a thing and
I don't know,
do they continue with the Orlando plan or do they say, okay, let's get everybody back to their arenas or what, like for, cause they'd be in the playoffs by that time. It'd be like, you know, we can get home court advantage back and you know, the whole thing.
My guess is by the fact that you're doing this and you've got one hotel, that's going to be the working base for this and you're renting out the place, money's being put down. No, I think this is, regardless of what happens over the next few weeks, you're locking this in place.
So they're going to invite 22 teams, and that's the 16 playoff teams. The 8 seeds currently are Orlando in the East and Memphis in the West. And then they're inviting one other team from the East, which is the Wizards, because they are within 6 games of Orlando. They're the only team within 6 games of Orlando. And then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams in the West that are within 6 games of Memphis.
So they're coming, including Phoenix. So basically, you got 13 teams in the West and 9 coming out of the East, and you're going to throw them all in a big blender.
And the reason they're doing it that way is because they're going to play 8 more regular season games. The Blazers And every team's played a different number of games so far, but the Blazers had 16 games left. But now they'll only play eight. Yes. All of these teams will play eight games, and they did any team within six games of the eight spot because those teams are technically still alive in the playoff race. So they all get to show up, and you play eight games, which, according to one NBA writer, I'm not sure which one, on Twitter, although this is not out there yet, he seems to think that it's going to be just the next eight games on your regular season schedule.
Yeah, and then,
and if one of those is a team that is not there, you just skip down to the next game.
Yeah, and so we haven't seen that detail yet, other than that's the only way that I've seen that floated out there, but that is not definitive. And so at the end of this eight games, then there is a play-in tournament that will include the 8 and 9 teams.
Not necessarily.
Well, no, that's true. So if the 9 seed finishes the regular season within 4 games, which is, again, just odd, random 4 games, but if the 9 seed is within 4 games of the number 8 seed, then in that case, the 8 seed will enter a double elimination tournament with the 9 seed, and the 9 seed will be a single elimination. So basically, if you're the 8 seed and you're up 3 games, you're going to have to play the 9 seed, and you only have to beat them once. The 9 seed has to beat you twice, and that will determine the 8 seed.
Yeah, it's super confusing because there are so many teams that could finish within 4 games of the 8 spot.
Yeah.
So at that point, I assume, like, for the Blazers to make the playoffs, basically all they need to do, because right now they're 3.5 back of Memphis.
Yeah.
All they need to do is stay within 4 games of Memphis over the 8 that they play.
Well,
if they do that.
Not necessarily.
That's at minimum.
Because someone else can jump ahead of you. You have to be right. The 9 seed within...
Now, see, I don't know that that's true, because what if they're all tied like they are now?
From what I read, it said that the play-in tournament was just 8 and 9. So the way I interpreted that, and maybe I'm completely off basis, is whoever is the 9 seed, if you're within 4 games, there'll have to be some sort of tiebreaker to figure this out. But if you're sitting there and you're within 4 games, but there's a team that's within 2 and they're sitting there at the 9 seed, that's the 9 that now gets to play the 8 and you're out.
So it's only a 2 team play-in tournament.
That seems to be what
unless they tie.
That seems to be what so this my is so understanding.
Weird. The Blazers, the Pelicans, the Kings, they're all 3.5 games behind Memphis.
Yes.
The Spurs are only a half game behind them. Portland has played 66 games. New Orleans and Sacramento have played 64, and San Antonio has played 63. So the Spurs are disadvantaged simply by when the season stopped. What happens if all three of those other teams stay tied for ninth place?
I don't know how any of that works. I don't. The devil's in the details, and I guess tomorrow when this gets voted on, I'm assuming we get the full plan, but everything I read, I read 4 different articles and they all just said the 8 and 9 seed.
It would be very, very unlikely that multiple teams would be tied for the 9 seed. However, it would just be the NBA's luck in this weird system that they're building that multiple teams would be tied for that seed.
So I don't know.
They'd have to make some sort of crazy decision.
I don't know if you go off division record.
Why do you think it would be unlikely?
Well, because that's going to take a lot of games to fall a certain way for multiple teams to be tied for the same record.
Not necessarily. Well, it wouldn't be the same record because they've all played
the same winning percentage or whatever. Well, however you want to
they've
put
all
it.
Played a different number of games and they're all playing 8 more. If you've already got 4 teams that are all within a half game of one another in the West, it's only 8 games. If they all play close to the same in those 8 games, there's a really good chance that
I imagine two, they'll three, be playing each other, though.
Tie.
It just seems more unlikely that that would happen than the reverse.
So here's the Blazers' schedule. If they do it the way we think they're going to do it, they will play Memphis first, mm-hmm. which is interesting.
Yeah, that's who you're fighting to get.
Then they will play Houston. Then. Minnesota is on the schedule, but they're not going to be there. So that one is out. You would then go to Dallas. Minnesota, again, they're out. Is Charlotte there? No,
Charlotte,
they won't be
there.
And Detroit won't be there.
Horrid.
Is Detroit there?
No.
So then you go to Boston, Philly, Brooklyn, Utah.
Okay.
And that's I think that's a 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. And then one more against Memphis. Okay, those are your eight.
Those, and remember,
that's not easy.
You don't have to make
nobody's schedule is going to be easy with the teams that are left, though.
Exactly. True. There's no gimmies. You don't have to. Someone saying you have to make up 3.5 games in 8 games. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You just you
have to be within 4 games. And ahead of the other teams.
So technically, you don't have to make up anything. You just kind of got to stay where you're at and hope that no one jumps over you, or again, make it up and
very confusing.
You know, be the 8 seed. You're not going to be the 7. Impossible. The best you can do is the 8 spot.
You'll play the Lakers. If you get in the playoffs, you're playing the Lakers.
Yes,
because the Lakers are already whatever it is, however many games ahead of the 2 seed right now, which is the Clippers.
Yeah.
Let me just double check that.
So the
for you, Gary,
and the only
they're 5.5 up. So the Lakers are going to be the number one.
Yes.
So that's the only playoff. If you get in the playoffs,
you got the Lakers.
You are playing the Lakers.
Now the only thing that could skew this, not you're going to play the Lakers. The only thing that you could achieve is you could be the 8 seed, and then you would only have to win one game. Remember, the 8 seed in this 8-9 play-in has to win one game. The 9 seed has to beat you twice in a row. So there is something to play for, not just to get in, but if you could find a way to make up the 3.5 games and mm-hmm. become the 8 seed, which again is not very likely, but you do play Memphis twice,
sounds
right?
Like it, yeah.
So if that schedule holds true and you got 3.5 beating Memphis back to back, all of a sudden you don't have to make up that much ground, and being the 8 seed obviously would benefit you. And Portland, you know, we are going to see, at least according to Lillard, we're going to see Collins, we're going to see Nurk. Now we don't know what capacity. We don't know what kind of shape. I mean, we haven't seen Nurk all season. We haven't seen Collins more than, what, 6 or 7 games. So who knows what to get out of it. But that should be a nice boost for you.
All right.
Although, can I just say that?
You can.
Of course, Blazer Twitter on fire today, right?
What are they saying?
They're going to finish in the final four, Rob.
The overvalue that is being placed on Zach Collins is unbelievable to me. I swear to God, people are
acting. Is it unbelievable? Have you seen Blazer fans before?
It's true. But there's this idea.
Do you remember how much they loved Thomas Robinson?
Totally believable.
Did you know that Karl Malone is coming back to play power forward for the Blazers? Did you know that? Karl Malone. Wait, no, it's Zach Collins. But you know what? I'd rather have Zach Collins than Karl Malone at this point.
Because he can shoot.
He can. You know, Karl Malone can't play defense. No, not the way Zach Collins. I mean, look, Zach Collins is a nice player, and Zach Collins had some moments last year at the end of the run. But the last time we saw Zach Collins play last year, he was awful. He had a terrible year up until the very end there in the playoffs, where he had some moments.
And he had a decent 5 games or whatever it was.
But we act as if like
huge sample size.
Yeah, like he's coming back, and it's like, oh my God, Zach Collins is back.
I would like to remind everyone that the Trailblazers could not stop you or me before COVID started.
Yeah. So I just.
So is. I mean, I think it's great that they get Nurkic and Collins back. 2 starters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
2 good defenders.
Nurk isn't going to start, though. Nurk will come off the bench because of. And Collins may, too. Who knows? But, you know, Nurk is going to be Whiteside's backup.
But, I don't. I would like to see Whiteside come off the bench, but I get it. Nurk, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
They're going to be better with those guys. There's no question.
Sure.
But, dude, their defense was so bad. Why do you think it's going to be so much better?
I don't know. I just hope.
What makes you think? I feel like there's this
hope
idea
eternal.
That they're going to be like last year now that Nurk and Collins are back.
Yeah.
That team was so much better than this team. It's not even close.
Yeah.
They made the West Finals. You're 8 games under 500. What in the hell?
But no, Zach Collins is back. You don't understand.
You know what last year's team didn't have? Carmelo Anthony. Huh?
Which is why you're 8 games under 500. No, that's not fair. But
you are 8 games under 500.
He's not taking you to the West Finals.
No. Well, you're, look.
He's taking you to the NBA.
But Zach Collins is.
He's taking you to the Lakers. I mean, look,
we
can all hope that.
Do you really want that? Don't you want a better pick?
No,
you want to get your ass kicked by the Lakers?
Give me the Lakers. Make it a fun series.
Have you seen Blazers Twitter? Do they really want a better pick?
Yeah, they want the Lakers. And I get
series.
That. At least there's meaningful basketball to be played. You got a chance to play yourself in, and then you know you get a chance to take a swing at the big boys. And
like,
I was gonna say LeBron comes to town, but he doesn't come to town. He's going to Orlando.
Yeah.
Now they did say
that with no home court in LA.
Yeah. They did say that the players will be allowed to golf because there's a resort there.
Really?
You can eat, But that's all.
Well, I would hope they can eat.
Well, like, you don't have to eat. They have restaurants there. It's a whole big complex.
Golf.
Where we held our training camp when I was with the Buccaneers. And there's different restaurants. It's a big Disney resort. It's kind of a cool place.
Okay.
So you're going to be able to be around that, but you can't leave the property. You're going to be in there, and then there's going to be daily testing. And this was important. They did say that if a player tests positive, it does not shut anything down. That player, if he tests positive, is removed. He's quarantined. And then the rest of the team still goes on with the daily testing, but you don't have to shut down the team or the league if one player tests positive. They did say that.
So, okay. All right. Well, how likely is it, though, that only one guy
probably not
is going to have it? If one of them has it, you would think that there are other guys in the league or on his team that would have it.
Probably. They are not going to do the South Korea thing.
If they're all testing every day and only one guy has then it hasn't spread.
But like if Lillard, right? if Lillard gets it, Lillard's out, but the rest of the Blazers will be able to keep playing as...
Can Melo get it? Oh,
wow.
What?
Well, I'm sure...
Don't shake your head at me.
I'm sure he can. I mean...
I will shake my head at you. Your head at me.
That's more time for ZC to hop in there and block some shots.
Zach Collins.
And mean mug some fools.
6-4. Get ready for it, baby.
Zach Collins is going to come back and mean mug the S out of Orlando.
Oh, yeah, he will.
I love this.
Be waving that towel on the bench.
I hope he has long hair now.
Oh, no. The hair will be perfect.
Haven't seen him in a while.
His hair is on point.
Well, COVID.
No, that's true.
Yeah, you know, he might have long hair and tats. He might be like, who's that guy? Cherokee Parks. What if he comes back looking like Cherokee Parks?
He's all tatted up.
And then just dominates.
He comes back looking like Birdman.
He's got full sleeves. Let's do this.
Sweet.
And a pointy mohawk.
All right. Two teams that may have a gripe about this next on The Fam.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fam.
So the 8 seeds... We're talking about the NBA's plan.
Yeah, and I looked it up again, because
it's confusing.
Yeah, there's not details. It's just kind of they're giving you a basic outline. But I was reading, because someone said it was their understanding that if there were multiple teams within 4 games, there'd be a playoff to be the 9 seed. I read it again, and it said, at least in the one I read from Woj and On the Ringer, it both said the maximum number of playing games you could get was 4, which would be a 2-game series in the 8 and 9 seed matchup. So I'm taking that as, once again, there's not going to be a play-in game for the 9 seed. Whoever is the 9 seed will play the 8 seed in a maximum 2-game series.
But what if there's a tie for the 9?
They'll have to be some sort of tiebreaker, because
to where the Spurs may be at a disadvantage.
To me,
or maybe an advantage because they've got less games for their winning percentage. Who knows?
To me, the two articles I read, the language was the same. The maximum number of playoff games you could get is 4, and that would be a simple math, a series in the East and a series in the West with a maximum of 2 games. That's 4 games.
The point is, none of this is really all that interesting. Like, look, you're talking about the 8 seed, and they're going to get walloped by the Lakers and the Bucks.
Those games will be exciting, though.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, the playing games will be awesome.
Yeah, that will be fun, because those teams will want to, you know, anything that's a single elimination type event in the NBA, like one and done type thing, that's cool when there's something like that, a playoff berth on the line. But I think those 8 regular season games and then the whatever 2 playing games, that's 10 games. It's going to be over before you know it. What we're really talking about is the playoff matchups. And the interesting thing about that is teams are already griping about wanting home court advantage in some way. Now, they're not going to have it in Orlando because it's all neutral.
Yeah, I saw that people were saying the league was kicking around ideas to try to find a way to give the higher seed some sort of advantage.
There are 5 of them. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here are the 5, which, by the way, before I give you these 5, these are the ideas that they've been discussing about helping out the team that's the higher seed.
Yeah.
Before I get to that, don't Memphis and Orlando have to be a little pissed?
Sure.
Because they're like, we've played the vast majority of the season. And we're in position.
And someone has to just get within 4 games of us.
Yeah. I think that's kind of weak their perspective. But from the Blazers' perspective, it's fun.
Yeah. I mean, look, I just don't think you were going to come up with an idea with 16 games left.
Just go to the playoffs.
I just don't think you were going to get the Blazers or the Spurs or the Pelicans or whoever to sign off on the idea that with 16 games to play or 15 games, whatever it was for each individual team, that they couldn't make up 3.5. I honestly think you had to do it this way.
They just want Zion in there.
Well, and you do have to have a ramp up, right? There has to be some. You can't just go from nothing for months to the playoffs, and this gives you an 8-game a build-up regular season where they matter, but it's not the playoffs and it doesn't matter. Teams like the Lakers and the Bucks aren't playing for anything, so they're just going to treat this as a preseason sort of thing, and whereas the Blazers and teams like that really have to get going. So I honestly think this is about as fair as you could get in a very weird circumstance. And for a city like Portland that has had really nothing to cheer about this year. Look, I kind of made fun a little bit of the whole, God, people freaking out about Zach Collins coming back, but you're going to have meaningful basketball. And of those teams that you're fighting with, you have the best player on the court and a guy that has proven that in big moments that he can carry you to something. And I'm a Blazer fan. I'm excited for this.
Well, and the Blazers get Collins and Nurkic back. Yes. They should be better.
Yeah. How much better? I don't know. You're 8 games below 500. I mean,
man, you only got 8 games. Those guys are going to be rusty as hell. But then again, so is the whole league. So.
Exactly.
But I also think too, like Washington is going to be there,
and they
they're not going to care.
I saw
Phoenix isn't going
to
care.
I was listening to it was Dirt and Sprague, and they were talking today, and one of them said that they read that Wall may try to play in this thing.
Oh, come on.
No, like we know Kyrie's not playing. We know Kevin Durant's not playing. Well, the Golden State's out, so they're not doing it. But. And I haven't seen that anywhere else, but they were saying that one of them was either they heard or they read that Wall may try to roll the ball out
there. So they're 5.5 back of Orlando.
Yeah.
They, in those last 8 games, have to get within
four.
And if they do that, then they play it's easy in the East because there's only 2 teams.
Yeah.
They would play a 2-game series. If Orlando wins the first game, Orlando's the 8 seed. If Washington wins them both, they're the 8 seed.
Yeah.
But that's if Washington makes up 1.5 games over the last 8.
See, and I like this because the first round of the playoffs rarely have any sort of drama to them whatsoever and whatever. And I like the fact that this is going to pique the interest in these final 8 games, at least for a handful of teams, Portland being one of them. And I love the idea of an NCAA single elimination or, you know, if you're the 9 seed, a double elimination, you have to win. I think that's great. I know they would never go for it, but the most interesting thing in the NBA is that if you had an NCAA tournament with all teams, if you did a bracket that way, it would be.
Well, that's what I was saying. Anytime you have one game and it's win or go home, that's exciting. But I still think the team that everyone's going to be rooting for is the Pelicans. Remember, the Pelicans with Zion back and everybody healthy, that's probably the team to be reckoned with, not the Blazers.
Probably.
They're much better once Zion came back. And so he's going to be there. Everybody's going to be rooting for them to get the 8 seed so that they can play the Lakers and have a Zion versus the Lakers in the first round.
The other thing to remember here is you have no idea what anyone's been up to. CJ came out and said that he hadn't touched a basketball in 2 months, right? Yeah, we have no idea what kind of shape anyone's going to be in. We don't know how rusty they're going to be. We don't know where injuries are going to occur. And by the way, you don't know if someone's going to catch COVID and they're out for 2 weeks. Can you imagine if LeBron, in the middle of this run, the redemption season with LeBron coming back and a chance to win a 4th title with LA, imagine if he gets it and has to sit out for 2 weeks, which, by the way, he'll fake the results of that test and keep playing, but still.
God, he so would, wouldn't he?
Oh, 100%.
They would. Lakers would.
That's the frozen.
If LeBron tests positive, there's no way anyone will know about it.
Frozen envelope, man. Just the Michael Jordan gambling suspension, it just goes down as one of the great things.
Wow.
Like someone would be like, hey, he looks really sick. He doesn't kind of moving around kind of funky. And then the rumors will start and they'll shrug it off. But there could be some real intrigue because you have no idea what you're going to get when you come back.
I still think the Suns and the Spurs are both candidates to not give a rip when they come back, especially the Spurs.
Yeah.
They don't want to come back. They're terrible. And they've got a bunch of veterans. They're like, whatever. We don't want to care about playing
Lakers. We're not beating the Lakers. Go away.
But the Kings are young. The Pelicans are young. The Blazers are, you know, we know they're invigorated because they feel like they're going to get healthy and could be a sleeper. And then Of course, Memphis is young. Those teams, there's value in making that eight seed.
Yeah.
But Phoenix and San Antonio, Phoenix is like six back. They might not even show.
Booker's like, you know what? I'm
out.
Yeah. I'm going to go have another
kid. I'm going to go make some more babies.
There you go. Go have another kid.
All right. So I'll tell you what they're talking about. There are five ideas that have been discussed for the higher seeds to get some sort of home court advantage in Orlando. I'll tell you what those are next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.